Well, good morning, everyone. Can you hear me all right? You all right? Okay. Well, last week we looked at the parable of the miners. And this week, as we've just heard, the parable of the talents. And don't they look similar and sound similar when we look at them? Although they were told at different times, the parable of the miners was told as Jesus was about to enter Jerusalem. The parable of the talents was told 3 or 4 days later in Jerusalem. But although they have got a lot of similarities, there are one or two differences. So let's have a look at the two parables. I'm going to try and put them together. Last week we looked at the big difference, that the parable of the miners is about a person going away of noble birth to be king and then to come back as king. So let's try and put these two parables together. Well, let's look at the similarities. A person goes away. In one, it's a noble man to be made king. In the other, it's just a man. Maybe his deity and humanity, maybe. The person gives his servants money. The amount and the number of servants differ, but the similarity is that there is a person giving servants money. Some returned an increase. Again, it's the amounts are different. But in both parables, there is one servant who did not gain an increase. One hid the coin in a cloth. The other one hid it in a bag of money, hid his bag of money in the ground. However, those who had made an increase were rewarded. In the one parable, they were given control over cities. In the other parable, charge of many things. In the parable of the miners, the returning king says, "Well done, my good servant. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. And then in the parable of the talents, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Very similar, aren't they? So you can see why people think they're one and the same story. Let's look a bit further. What happened to that person in the parable who didn't show any increase? Well, in the miners, the returning king says, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I come back I could have collected with interest?" Then in the parable of the talents, the one who'd hid it in the ground, the master said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I hid your talent in the ground. Here is what belongs to you." Very, very similar. Very similar indeed, these two parables. And so we are comparing them together this morning. And then we see in the parable of the miners, where the returning king says, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I am a hard man, did you?" And in the talents, the master says, "You wicked, lazy servant." A lot of similarities, isn't there? Both sounding very, very similar. And another similarity is that the one who hadn't gained anything, the one who had hid it in the cloth, and the one who had hid his bag of money in the ground, had his one miner or his one bag of money taken off him and given to the one who had gained the most. That's a similarity in both parables. And then when Jesus sums up both parables, the summing up sounds so familiar. In the miners, "I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away." And in the talents, "For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." So I can see why people think that sometimes they think it's the same parable, just recorded differently. But it's not. It's two parables, two different occasions. But the gist of it, the meaning of them, is the same. And maybe it's because Jesus had to repeat it twice to get the message, so that the people listening would understand. And you might be thinking, well, what happened to that servant who gained no increase? What happened to him? Well, here's a difference. In the parable of the miners, we're not told. Because in the parable of the miners, it's the ones who would not acknowledge him as king that were killed. It was the ones who hated him. In fact, you could read in the parable of the miners that the one who showed no increase but hid it in the cloth just didn't have any cities to look after. And yet the one who'd hid his bag of money in the ground was cast into darkness where there'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus calls them lazy, wicked, worthless. What's he trying to teach us about his servants? What is he trying to say to those who follow him and call him Lord and Saviour and King? But you know, there is a big difference. We're told a little bit more information in the parable of the talents. That's not there in the parable of the miners. And that is that he gave to each one according to their ability. That is a striking difference. That he gave to each one according to their ability. And this is the word that sort of hit me and struck me as I read these parables over and over again, to try and get what Jesus wants his followers to get, what he wants his followers to listen to. And so I looked up the word ability and see where else it's used in the New Testament. And do you know where else it's used in the New Testament, which absolutely astounded me? It's Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's the same Greek word, dynamis. And when Jesus says each was given according to their ability, it's the same that Luke uses when he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then this got me really thinking, because I then thought, what does Jesus want his servants to know? Why is the Holy Spirit given? The Holy Spirit is given so that we might witness, have supernatural ability to share the gospel. What was the last thing that Jesus told his followers before he went, before he ascended? You see, in both parables, the one who went away to be king and this man who went away for a long time gave valuable possessions, money, before he went. Sometimes we get hung up because it's the talents and we think he's talking about natural talents. He's not. He was just talking about money, a bag of money. And so what did Jesus leave us with? What is a treasure, a valuable thing that he leaves to followers? Something that they can do to show an increase. What was his last instructions to his disciples? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I am with you always to the very end of the age. Mark says, go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. Luke says, this is what's written, Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power, clothed with ability from on high. What is Jesus left us with? What did the king leave? What did the man leave? Something valuable, something of worth, something that when he came back, there could be an increase. You see, now I'm not saying that this is the only way you can interpret these parables. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this is the way I'm looking at it this week. Next week, I might think different. But this week, Jesus gives his followers the ability, the power to witness. And just as in the parable of the talents, and they were given different amounts, so some have greater responsibility to what Jesus has told his followers to do than others. Teachers, evangelists, and pastors, well, they've all got supernatural ability, or they should have, but their responsibility is greater than others. In fact, it says that teachers have a greater responsibility and will be judged greater than others. You see, what's the value? What's the treasure? He's left us the responsibility to share good news, to be a witness. He's trusted us with this task. He wants us to be faithful. Trustworthy are the two words from the two parables. One, they were called trustworthy, those which are increased, and then one, faithful, good and faithful. So he wants us to be trustworthy, faithful, and good witnesses to what he's done in our lives. I want to tell you something this morning. There is something that you can do that I can't do. And there's something I can do that you can't do. And that's to tell your story of what God has done for you. Because it's different. And people cannot argue with your story. And your story is powerful, and it's a precious treasure that only you have, of how God called you, of how God changed you, how God saved you, how God brought changes and differences into your life, how you became a new creation in him. That's your story. And only you have that story to share with others. But maybe we identify most with the one who hid his treasure in a cloth, or the one who dug a hole and buried it deep in the ground. Because sometimes our reaction to this task, our reaction to this responsibility, is the same as those two servants. It's to hide it. It's to bury it. They said to their master on his return, "We were frightened. We didn't know what to do with what you'd left us with. We didn't know how to increase it. So we thought we'd do nothing instead." And there are many followers of Jesus Christ. Many people are born again, spirit-filled, go to meetings and that. But the one thing that frightens them, and the one thing that they might hide, is sharing the light, is sharing the gospel, is sharing the good news. And I think there is something that is maybe true of all of us, or of not many of us. We don't find it easy to share the good news with friends and family and neighbours. And that's why I'm not going to be talking this morning about the two that showed an increase. Because they're fine. I want us to look at the two that didn't increase. Because they were frightened. Because they were fearful. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You see, when I say share the gospel, the good news, it's not all quoting scripture. In fact, that's not perhaps the good thing or the necessity to do. He said that they might see your good deeds, that they might see the light in you, that they might see the change that Jesus has brought into your life, that you are a new creation in him. Your life in Jesus is powerful. It's valuable. its treasure. Don't hide it. For a life hidden will have no increase. A life hidden will have no fruit. You see, I'm going to say this right now. I don't think Jesus is talking about salvation in these parables. He's not talking about, well, if you don't show an increase, that's it, you're finished. He's just saying, my desire for you is that you're empowered by the Holy Spirit for there to be fruit. Because I want to say, what I think this parable shows is that those who have an increase in the kingdom to come will have cities and things to look after. And that's what he's talking about. He's just talking about how people get rewards. But we need to realize that we have his power, his ability to witness, for his light to shine through us. You see, in those parables that we've read last week and this week, Jesus calls his servants wicked, lazy, worthless. Do you know what it could also say in the Greek? Shy, frightened, and fearful. That's a good way of defining servants of Christ who hide the light in a cloth. You hide the light by digging it in a hole. Because when you talk about sharing your faith, some rejoice in the joyful, and they've got that kind of personality where it's natural to them. And they're probably the five talent guys. So I'm not talking about them. And there's those who sort of, they're in between. Well, they're the two talent guys. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the one talent guys. The ones that when people say, share the gospel, share your faith, be a witness, it doesn't develop joy and an excitement and enthusiasm. Instead, it gets a frightenedness, a fearfulness. I don't know what to do. I don't know. Yeah, I understand that we're to go into the world and preach. I understand that. But it's for the five talent guys. It's for the two talent guys. It's not for me. It's not for worthless little old me. It's not for me. It's for them. But look, Jesus gave talents to everyone. 5, 2, and 1. No one was missed out. You see, when you read the parables, in both parables, the servant that showed no increase, both had a wrong understanding of their master. They thought he was a hard man, an unfair man, an unjust man. So the masters dealt with him accordingly. You see, when we say preach the gospel, share the gospel, be a witness, if we really knew Jesus, if we really knew what he was like, he's not unfair, he's not unjust, he's not a hard man. And he's not saying do that because he wants to make our lives hard. He's not saying share the gospel because he wants to make our lives difficult. He's not saying share the gospel so that on that day I can, you know, wag the finger at you and say, well, you had the ability, you had the Holy Spirit, what did... I want to say this morning, I feel sorry for those two servants. Because the five, and this is me stretching it probably too far, but the five talent man, the two talent man, why didn't they help the one talent man? They were servants together. Why didn't they get alongside them and help them? So what I'm saying this morning is this. Jesus has left us a commission, as it's called. Jesus has left us, just before he went, with an instruction that we can show an increase. And if the thought of sharing the gospel, if the thought of being a witness, if the thought of telling others about Jesus and what he's done for you brings a fear into you, and we've got to be honest, for some it does. You know, I find this relatively easy compared to sharing it with family and friends. This is because you're all on my side, hopefully. So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying this. And this is what didn't happen in the parables. If you're that one talent person, fearful of sharing the gospel, then those who have a greater responsibility, the twos and the fives, need to get alongside you and help you and show you ways of which it can be done. Now, I believe that's the godly way. You know, those who are spiritual, bring those along with gentleness. I know it's a different context, but you get the idea. Because Jesus doesn't want you fearing about this message this morning. That's not the motive, you know, or to burden you with a commission. You see, I want to tell you this. Jesus wants to say to everyone in this room this morning, well done, you good and faithful servant. Come and enter into my joy. That's what he wants. He doesn't want anybody to be a one talent. And maybe this is told as a bit of a warning. You know, you don't have to be a one talent. He gave each according to the ability. You've all got the Holy Spirit. You've all got the ability to witness. And maybe some of us need to help people so that they're not fearful, so that they can show their light. Paul says this, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And this is it. This is it. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We have this treasure of the gospel. We have this light in our bodies to show that all this power, all this ability is from God and not from us. I want you to get this morning. He wants you to witness, but he empowers you to do it. Can you imagine those servants with their bags of money, those who got an increase, those who had hid it? And especially those who had hid it. Guess what we're thinking about? We're probably thinking, I've got away with this. I've got away with this. I've hid it in the ground and he ain't come back. Bonus. He's not worried. He's not fearful. Just like what Peter says. First of all, you must understand that in the last day, scoffers will come, following their own evil desires. Where is this coming, he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it had since the beginning of creation. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I want us to see, on the one hand, we've got this burden of responsibility, this burden of a task that he's left us with. And some have a greater burden, greater responsibility than others. And on the other hand, he's given us the Holy Spirit, this supernatural ability to do it. Now, this is our motive. This is the reason for doing it. Because the Lord is not slow keeping his promise. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He says, until he returns, we can share the gospel so that he can call people out of darkness into his marvelous light. And maybe sometimes the desire to share the gospel, the enthusiasm to share the gospel, loses its impact or its importance because, well, he ain't come back. Because he hasn't returned. Because where is he? He said he was coming back. I had the signs and I've ticked all the signs. He should have came back before the year 2000. But he ain't come back yet. Maybe he's not coming back, so no point sharing the gospel. He's coming back. And just as in those two parables, the king returned, their master returned, Jesus is coming back. And I've just seen that time has gone. I just want to say that in the two parables, the increase was by those two servants was by them going to the banks or investing it. It's God that gives the increase. It's not, you know, we just have to be faithful, trustworthy servants. And you might think, because I said this earlier, that maybe this is not about salvation. Maybe it's just about rewards and looking after cities. This is what Paul says. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it's all burnt up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but there's only one escaping through flames. I think that could well describe those one talent guys, or the one who just hid it in a cloth. But again, that's not God's plan for you or God's plan for me. He doesn't want everything we do to be burnt up. So we just get there, we just sneak through, we just make it. You see, the confusing bit for many is how he ends both of those parables, where he says that whatever, that even if someone has nothing, even what he has will be taken from him and given away. It doesn't make much sense, does it? And in Matthew it says, whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. What do I think that means? I think it means this. God intended for those, if you like, sorry, Jesus in those parables indicates that both those servants were meant to be rewarded. One was going to get a city, and the other one was going to get in charge of some things. But because they showed no increase, because they showed no fruit, what they didn't have was taken off them and given to someone else. What didn't they have? Their reward, their city, their being in charge. So what I think Jesus means by those confusing words is this. I intended to give you a city to look after. I intended to give you rewards. But because you haven't shown an increase, those rewards will now go to somebody else. You see, because I think we all would want this. It's what Paul also says, where he says that he planted the seed and Apollos watered, but God makes it grow. We read in Acts how God increased the church daily. And if I asked you, would you like to see the church grow numerically? Oh, would you like to see the church grow numerically?
Yes.
You would, of course you would. And we realise it's only God that can do it. God gives the growth. But that doesn't get us off the hook, because he says to you and he says to me, go into the world. He says to you and me, let your light shine before men. He says to you and me, don't be like that one talent person who hide their bag of money because they were fearful and frightened. And if this morning you're feeling, wow, this is a heavy task or burden, don't be. Because Jesus doesn't want you to be burdened, because he's given us the Holy Spirit. And maybe I shall have to get with Pastor Kirk, and maybe we can maybe do something if people want help in sharing the gospel with family and friends. Maybe this is something we can, and I'm just doing this on top of my head now, maybe this is something that we should get together so that people aren't frightened of sharing the gospel. And maybe they just need a little help, little ways of doing it. So it's natural, because sharing the gospel has to be a natural thing. You know, you might say we've tried some things in the past, but you know, the trouble is sometimes what we tried in the past was a gimmick. You know, give someone a video, then you go back and ask them, had you watched it, and ask them questions. That's not very natural. When you look back, that's not very natural. Or the one that I did when I was in Norwich. Knock on the door and you ask them a question, should you die tonight? Why should you be let into heaven? Looking back, that's not a wise thing or a good thing. So maybe we need a bit of help and some guidance. So that on that day, we're fruitful. And on that day, he will say to each and every one of us, well done, you good and faithful servant. Come into my joy. The King is coming. He has left us with something valuable, a treasure, and he has given us supernatural power, abilities to carry out the task, and we all have them, so that he can give the increase and say, well done, you have shown yourself to be trustworthy, good, and faithful. Come and share in my joy as he rewards us. Amen.